Thanks for joining us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, download our app in your iPhone or Android App Store, or visit us online at www.thebridgechurchva.com. We hope this week's message speaks to you in a new way, and hope to see you soon.
It is by grace you have been saved. And here's my favorite verse. And God raised us up with Christ. So the resurrection of Jesus is not just about it impacting you, but it's also impacting all of us collectively. But the resurrection of Jesus impacts us personally. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Verse 7 says this. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8 says this. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 9, not by works, so that no one can boast. I want to go back to verse 5 and verse 6, because that's really where I'm going to shape today's message around for the next few moments. Verse 4, yeah, that's good. Yep, go back to verse 4. It says this, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. If you're taking notes, I'm simply calling today's message strange love. Tell the person beside you, it's a strange love. Strange love. Now find the other person who is your second JV option and say, it's a strange love. You know, what's interesting is when I was thinking about preparing this message, and I typically try to work on our messages and begin just to kind of seek God about what he would have to speak to our church, not just a few days in advance, but really weeks and sometimes months in advance. And one of the things that I thought about as we were kind of engaging in Easter is how the resurrection of Jesus, it didn't just talk about and speak to the fact that he's conquered the grave and he's conquered death and sin, but that it also carries another theme. And when I began to think about this particular thing that I'm going to share about in a moment, I immediately thought about the show on Netflix called Stranger Things. How many of you guys have seen that show before? Not a lot of participation. Okay, I'm going to have to do some work with this one. But there's a show that comes on Netflix called Stranger Things, and it's a science fiction show where the premise is focused on events that ultimately take place in this rural town in Indiana, where the main characters find themselves experiencing things that are abnormal. They are essentially like extraterrestrial. They are from another dimension. They are from another world. And the reason why the show is called Stranger Things is because what's happening is not normal. What's happening doesn't make sense. What's happening is out of this world. And what ultimately, when I think about this show, it reminds me of God and how often God would do things in our lives that are not normal. Like he does things in our lives that absolutely don't make sense. I was going to share this towards the end of my message, but I'll just share it now. I just kind of feel led to share it now. We are in this building right now, and God did something that did not make sense for it to happen. And in case you don't already kind of know the story, in case you happen to be new here, let me give you the Cliff Notes version. An amazing church, Freedom Life Church, who was busted out of the seams in this church, felt led by God to essentially give us this building. Hold on. I don't know if you guys caught that. They felt led by God to give us, to entrust us with this building. For free. There you go. Y'all say y'all like free stuff, right? You are sitting in something that was free. Freely given. That is strange. Like, it doesn't make sense. It's not supposed to happen like that. God has an interesting way of doing things that are strange, doing things that are unthinkable in our lives. And the resurrection of Jesus is the strangest event that has ever happened in human history. It is the most craziest event that has ever happened in history. I want you to think about the things that have happened in your life and think about how strange they have been. I want you to think about how you've made it out of situations that you should not have made it out of. And the only thing that you can say when you look back on it is, but God. The only thing that you can say when you look back on it is, thank you, God. Because it didn't make sense. It didn't compute. It shouldn't have happened that way. I was talking with one of our team members a few weeks ago, and he was telling me about how he got in a car accident, and the car was completely total. And he said, it was mind-blowing. He was standing outside of the car, walking away, and all of a sudden it hit him that I wasn't in that car dead. Strange things. The resurrection of Jesus points to strange stuff. And as you look over your own life, you see the strange things that God has done in your life. Really quick, is anybody grateful for God doing strange things in your life? Things that didn't make sense, things that should not have happened. You can't understand how it happened, but it just happened. And here in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is writing to believers in this city called Ephesus, which is known today as modern-day Turkey. It's a very diverse city, very similar to Hampton. People from all different types of backgrounds and all types of different experiences. And in Ephesians chapter 2 in particular, he's talking about their salvation experience. And what I mean by that is how they came into a relationship with God. And he begins to kind of outline the facts of how they came into a relationship with God. He's teaching them just basic Christian doctrine, which we look back on today as the church and as a foundation for our faith. That we realize that in verse 6 it says that God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him. What does that mean? It means that through the resurrection of Jesus, we can have new life. That through Jesus, no matter what you're up against, it's not over. That God is able to take dead situations and bring life out of them. That God is able to take something that you wrote off, the thing that you thought was done, the thing that you thought you were over, you thought it was over, maybe you thought your life was over and you tried to take it, but God intervened in the midst of it. It's proof that the resurrection of Jesus is a strange thing. But beyond that, that's the what. And today we oftentimes will celebrate the what. And we should. We should celebrate the fact that Jesus rose on the third day. That's the what. But can I almost submit to you that it's not always the what that changes your life. It's the why. It's the why that transforms our heart. Because I'm willing to believe that most of us in here, even if you've like never gone to church, or even if this happens to be your first time at church, even if you've grown up in church your whole entire life, you know the story. So coming here today was like, oh, the pastor's going to talk about how Jesus rose from the grave. They're going to sing songs about Jesus resurrecting. There's probably going to be a cliche cross on the stage. That wasn't ours. That was left here, but we loved it. It's what it's going to say. Right? Like, I already know all the things. I know the what that happened. But I want to ask you, do you know the why? Do you know the why that happened? Do you know why Jesus resurrected? Because the why is the ending behind the what. And if you don't have a good why, the what that happens makes no sense. Matter of fact, oftentimes we get more concerned with the what than we lose sight of the why. But today, I don't want to just talk just about the what happened 2,000 years ago on that early Sunday morning. I want to talk about why it happened, and Paul helps us see it here in this passage. In one simple, small verse that is packed with so much gospel explosion, this is what it says in verse 4. But because of his great love for us. Do you see it? The what was Jesus resurrected? The why is because of his great love for us. The why is because God is rich in mercy. He made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. Paul is helping us see something powerful here, that we've not only been saved from the penalty of our sin, we've not only been saved from the power of sin. It's all grounded in the resurrection of Jesus, but he's also helping us understand the why behind it. And the why is this, and if you don't get anything else out of this message, I want you to get this today. It's that God loves you more than you could ever imagine. The why is that God's love for you is unimaginable. That's why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that whoever will believe in him won't perish but have everlasting life. And the next verse says that God sent his Son into the world not to condemn it but to save it. Why? Because he loves it. And I'm so sick and tired of the enemy continuing to tell us lies and continue for us to believe the lie that God does not love me. And God says, I'll prove to you how much I loved you by my son Jesus stretching on that cross and then by me raising him from the grave on the third day. If you ever need to know how much God loves you, look at the cross and the empty tomb. He loves you more than you can imagine. And this love is strange, y'all. It's not any old type of love. It's not Mary J. Blige's Real Love. It's not Taylor Swift type love. No, this is otherworldly type of love. His love doesn't make sense. God's love is more than the flaky love that people oftentimes walk with in their lives. It's bigger than just saying, I love you. Oftentimes we deal with people who constantly say they love us, but then they leave us. That is not a picture of what love is. God's love is completely different. God's love, can I say this, is on a whole nother level. It's strange. And you may be asking me, well, Pastor, how is it strange? What's so different about God's love? Because you can't tell me that God loves me, but then, you know, I feel all condemned about the things that have happened in my life and the things that I've done in my life. Does God really love me even in spite of all the things that I've done? I don't care if you just smoked a blunt yesterday. Today, before you wanted to get high on the spirit and things. God's love for you hasn't changed. There's nothing that you can do or not do that would get God to love you more or less than he already does right now. It's strange. Doesn't make sense. And Paul helps us to see in these few verses how God's love is strange. Number one, his love is undeserved. When you look at verses 1 through 5 back in Ephesians chapter 2, notice the language that Paul uses. He says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Check this out. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Here's what Paul is helping us see. He's helping us to see how our lives look apart from Jesus. That apart from Christ, our lives are just going towards a dead end. That outside of Christ, we have no life. Outside of Christ, we have no purpose. Outside of Christ, there's nothing in our life that will ever make sense. Outside of Christ is a life filled with pain. It's a life filled with chaos. It's a life filled with confusion. And he says a lot of it is attributed to because of the things that we've done. Because of our sinfulness. I don't want you to think that Jesus just died on the cross because he was like, he didn't do anything, so I'm just going to go give him my life. No. He went to the cross in place of us. Like, we were supposed to be the ones on that cross. But Jesus says, I love you too much to let you take the penalty upon yourself. And it's not because we deserved it. It's because he's that good. So when Paul says here, we were all deserving of God's wrath, what does that mean? Eternal separation from God, heading to a Christless eternity. He says, we were following the ways of the world, culture, the enemy. We were pursuing everything else but God. All of us deserved it. All of us. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Last time I checked, all means all. When you look in Hebrew language, all means all. When you look in the Greek, all means all. You speak Pig Latin, all means all. Ebonics, all means all. Oh, all of us have sinned. All of us have messed up. And the only thing that we deserved was eternal separation. But because of his great love for us, all throughout the Bible, whenever you see the word, it nullifies everything that came towards it. It nullifies everything that came prior to it. And the Bible is filled with much language like this. You were headed down the wrong path, but God. You thought about ending your life, but God. You thought about giving up, but God. And I believe I'm looking at a room full of people who've had plenty of but God moments. I believe that I'm looking at a room full of people who can testify that I was going down the wrong path, but God, who is rich in love and rich in mercy. In verse 5, it says this. He made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. Here's what I want you to know, that even when you and I were pursuing the wrong things, Jesus was always still pursuing us. Jesus was still coming after you. When you were in the club twerking, Jesus was there. Y'all didn't think I was going to be that real? Let me help us understand. So I'm here at the British Church, I keep it real. Because I think fake is exhausting, and it's only the truth and the reality that sets us free. Some of y'all don't like that image. Jesus was there? Oh my gosh. Where was he? And he still loves you. Undeserved love, y'all. Why is this love strange? Because it's undeserved. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve this great, grand love. No, not at all. But yet he extends it to us. How many of you guys have ever passed the test that you did not study for? If I had like a million alarms, I'd put them up right now. Like you went into the test praying, Lord, I don't deserve to pass, but I'm praying that I do. Y'all prayed that prayer? Have y'all prayed the prayer where you said, Lord, if you just get me out of this one, I'll study for the next one. But you did it. You lied. Right? But yet God, knowing that you were lying, still allowed you to pass. Undeserved. His love is undeserved. No person, myself included, deserve God's love. But yet he offers it free of charge to Jesus. Jesus says, I paid the bill for you. I paid the tab. People depict God as unloving and unforgiving and hateful and mean, but that is a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus is the epitome of what love looks like. God is saying, if I didn't love you, I would have never sent my greatest gift in the form of my son. I would have never done that if I did not love you. If you ever want to know how much I love you, Romans 5:8 says this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is how he demonstrates his love for us. He did something for you. Usually, it's the other way around. The person who says, hey, I love you, but you got to earn my love, or you got to do something for my love, they say, if you do this, then I love you. And Jesus says, no, I love you, so you can do this. It's undeserved. Here's what 1 John 3:1 says. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. He's lavished you with love. He's lavished you with mercy. He's done a grand work in your life. God is not against you. He is for you. God is not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. And he's saying this morning, welcome home. Some of us, man, as we drove into the parking lot and you saw the flags out there and you saw our amazing parking team waving and directing you on inside, and I hope that experience was great, and you saw the sign out there that says, welcome home and all those things. But some of us came in here with the thought process, I haven't been to church in years. God, he can't love me. There's no way in the world God will still put up with me, even though I've messed up, even though I've blown it, but yet he's still saying, welcome home. Those signs that you saw outside when you were walking on the sidewalk, when they say welcome home, that's because that's God's love. It says welcome home. He says, I knew you messed up. But I knew that when Jesus died on the cross for you 2,000 plus years ago. Welcome home. Our church is called to be a welcome home church. So it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what's happened. God's love is for you, and it's undeserved. You don't earn it. There's nothing you've done to deserve. There's nothing that you and I have done to ever warrant it, but yet God freely gives it to us. Not only is it undeserved, Paul helps us to see, it's also unending, which is good news, because sometimes we think that based upon the things that we do, man, God has stopped loving me. I messed up, man. He can't love me anymore. I did the very thing that I had no business doing. He cannot love me anymore. But that's so far from the truth. Notice what verses 6 through 7 says. It says this. It says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness or his love to us in Christ Jesus. Key word there, in the coming ages. What does that represent? The all of eternity. That God's love for you is eternal. It's not temporary. It's forever. Forever, ever? Forever, ever? Forever. Matter of fact, tell the person beside you, forever. It doesn't end. That's why we sang that song earlier. Your love never runs out. It's always going on and on and on. Yeah. His love never stops. It never ceases. It's unending. Which means that God's grace, God's love, is not just meant to cover you when you, quote unquote, get it right, but also when you get it wrong. When you're crossing every T, his love is good for you and good to you. And when you're not, his love is still good to you and still good for you. It is unending. Romans 8:38-39 says this, we got it on the screen. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves you when you get it right. He loves you when you get it wrong. It is always, it will always be. It is always here. And this is why we say welcome home. Because God's love for you has not changed. And that should cause every single one of us in here to say amen. Because I want you to think about how shady we can be at times. Come on, don't act like that. I know we all nice and dressed up and you got nice and pretty and glamorous and handsome. But let's just be real. You can be a little screw-faced at times. Myself included. Like, we can be a little moody at times. I don't feel like talking to you today. Oh, I'm just here by myself. Nobody wants to say amen to that. Guess I'm the only sitter. I'm glad I saw one hand in the back. Amen. Thank you for being honest. All of y'all, I don't know what y'all... But God's love is, it's unending. It goes on. And it never stops. It's endless. There's no limitations to it. It's amazing. Which means that my past, my present, my future, all of the things that I would ever do have been covered by the unending love of Jesus, which means that there's nothing that you could ever do to stop God from loving you. It's not based upon you, it's based upon Him. Him loving you has nothing to do with you being lovable. It has everything to do with Him being faithful to you. That is why we rejoice. That is why we celebrate. That is why Resurrection Sunday is so powerful and so amazing, because it speaks to the fact that God's love, it never ends. And Paul also teaches us this last thing, and this is my favorite point. He says this, that my love for you is coming from God. It's undeserved and it's unending, but it's also unearned. It's unearned. We look at verses 8 through 9. We got it on the screen. It says this, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Paul helps us to see something else that's very strange about God's love. You can't earn it. You can't earn it. And the reason why this is so powerful is because we live in very much a performance-based culture where you got to earn your way for everything. Oh, you're going to earn this job. You're going to earn this money, right? And I mean, obviously, you got to work. You don't work, you don't eat. But God says, when it comes to my love, it's not something you can earn. Matter of fact, there's nothing good that you and I could ever do to earn God's love. The Bible says that our righteousness, the good things that we do, is like filthy rags. What do you do with filthy rags? You're throwing away. But Paul helps us to see something here. The God's acceptance, God's love for you to be a part of His family, it's not something that you earn. In other words, we don't enter into a relationship with God because of our good deeds. We enter into a relationship with God because of Jesus' good deeds. What were the good deeds of Jesus? He died on the cross. He lived the perfect, sinless life. He rose on the third day so that you and I can have the right to be a part of the family of God. The resurrection of Jesus fully reveals God's grace. If God was mad with us, He would have left Jesus in the grave. But because God is madly in love with us, He rose Him through the power of the Holy Spirit on early Sunday morning. He's madly in love with you. And it's not anything that you can earn. Let me say it like this. The resurrection of Jesus is God's gift to us. But how we respond to it becomes our gift to Him. How you respond to the resurrection of Jesus is your gift to Him. Because of God's love being unearned, but freely offered. I have no reason to be arrogant. Pride and arrogance and Christian don't go hand in hand at all. That's what Paul says. It's by grace you've been saved. Not by works, so no person can boast. So it doesn't matter if you've been coming all your life or you just came for the first time. We are all on an equal playing field at the foot of the cross. You know, one thing that's always kind of intriguing, how oftentimes, you know, sometimes we'll beat people up because of the exterior sins that we see in people's life. But if somebody was to put a strip, a microscope on some of our hearts, that thing is toxic. That not even his old school reference, Captain Planet from back in the day, could heal. Some of y'all remember that. But God's grace covers all of those things. As I mentioned earlier, this building is evidence of something that we didn't earn, we didn't work for. And God's love is for us on a regular basis, and it's unearned. And can I help us understand something today? Could you stop performing to get God to love you? And I know many of us in here, we've experienced abandonment, and you've had people leave your life, and you thought that, man, if I could just perform better, if I just do more, then maybe they'll love me more. Let me help you understand something. If you have to do more for somebody to love you, then they're not deserving to have you in their life in the first place. But God's love is unearned. There's nothing that you can do that will ever change the way God loves you. Do you want to know, here's a quick little theological lesson, the difference between Christianity and every other religion in the world. Every other religion, the main savior, the main figure in that religion died and did not come back. But Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, the second person in the Godhead, not only died, but they're still trying to find him today. Because he's alive. What is that proof of? God's love for you. That it doesn't matter what you've experienced. It doesn't matter what your past has been. It doesn't matter what you've been up against. We need to unlearn everything that we think we know about God's love and let our perspectives be shaped by the empty tomb and the bloody cross of Christ. That when you see that cross, you do see freedom. When you see that grave, you see some healing. You see liberty taking place. You see a future. You see a hope. You see a purpose. You being here today is not an accident. Even for the person who was hounding you, they were sharing it on Facebook, they were sending you text messages, they showed up at your door, whatever they did, it's because God is madly in love with you. And it's never something that you can earn. It is only something that we receive by faith. That's the goodness of this strange love of God, is that it's unearned, that there's nothing that you and I can do to ever earn it. And as I was kind of thinking about it, as I get ready to kind of close this message, this whole unearned love of God, I wanted to kind of do something that probably will freak a lot of us out right here, but I hope it kind of illustrates the point of what I'm trying to kind of show. So I got $10 here. 11. I was about to just hold on to that. But then the Lord just spoke. Because I want us to see how God's love for us is not based upon ourselves, but it's based upon how good he is. And so, if you guys don't mind, I'm just going to walk up to a random person. I just want to give you this. Because I believe that God loves you. There's a plan for your life. He wants to do something amazing in your life. And I can see some of your faces right now. I hope he brings it here. Say something, man. I don't have all the money Jesus does, so. But I want to show us a picture of just God's grace. And whenever the preacher stands out, gets out of the pulpit, it starts to mess people up. And, you know, everyone's like, oh my gosh, he's going to find out about me. Right? Because I want us to see how God's grace can meet you right where you are. That it's not about you coming to him, it's about him coming to you. So we always say things like, come to Jesus. No, Jesus came to you. Jesus saw you when you were struggling. Jesus saw you when you had need. Jesus saw you when you were dealing with depression. Jesus saw you when you were dealing with addiction. And he says, I know about it. Which is why I came. So you could be set free. And so, I don't know you. Never met you before until now. How you doing? This is for you. Yeah, hope it blessed you somehow. You know, I always get a disclaimer. Gotta make sure, you know, this wasn't staged or anything. Why do that? Because I want us to see how God's love for us is unearned. That there's nothing that we can do to ever earn it. That's what makes it so strange. But here's the last thing that I want to share as we get ready to transition. That not only is it undeserved, and not only is it unending, not only is it unearned. Paul doesn't tell us this, but it's all sprinkled out throughout Scripture. God's love for us is unrestricted. Which means this. There is nothing that you could ever do that will prevent you from being able to be loved by God. And it is for all people. I don't care if you deal with something that you haven't even told anybody. His love is for you. It doesn't matter what kind of sin or shame you've been walking in for the past few years. His love is for you. And he says, this morning, I'm going to set you free. Because my love for you is unrestricted. And how do we know God's love for us is unrestricted? Because when we look at that empty grave, death could not hold Jesus. The grave could not hold Jesus. And I actually saw a picture that I thought would really kind of communicate this point. You know how today is April 1st, it's April Fool's Day? I saw this picture of Jesus that was super funny. And it says, and you guys thought I would stay dead? April Fool's. Why? Because of his great love for us. His love for you is unrestricted. So I don't care who you are. His love is for you. White, black, Asian, Latino, older, younger, it doesn't matter. God's love is for all people. His church is for all people. And so that's why we say, welcome home. You are here. God has something he wants to do amazing in your life. He wants to transform your life. He wants to set you free from the things that have held you captive. If God can raise his son Jesus from the grave, he can break whatever stronghold you have happening in your life right now. Whatever addiction, whatever persecution, God's love is for you. I want to read this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:17-20. It says, and if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. But verse 20 says this, but, there it is again. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Which means you are no longer chained to what used to chain you. Which means that you are no longer held captive to the things that have held you captive. That in Jesus, you are set free. And you may be saying, Pastor, so how do I receive that? Like, how do I get this? Because if you're telling me it's undeserved, and if you're telling me it's unending, and if you're telling me it's unearned, all those things sound great. It's a gift. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. I didn't work for it. How do I get it? Simple. Believe. Some of us are like, man, it's too good to be true. It's too good not to be true. Believe. That's why Paul says back in verse 8, you are saved by grace through faith. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. In other words, you will become a part of the family of God. You will receive a new identity. You will be made whole. But Pastor, man, you don't know what I've done. No, but Jesus did, and he still went to the cross. And he still got up on the third day. But Pastor, you don't know the lies I've told, but Jesus does, and yet he still loved you, and he still died for you. And he still rose. But Pastor, you don't know the type of anger and hate that I got in my heart towards this one person. Man, God still can't love me. No, he does. And Jesus knew about it when he went to the cross. And all you got to do is say, I want it by faith. I'm going to receive it by faith. So I'm going to ask this just with every head bowed and every eye closed in this moment. That if you're here this morning and you have never received the love of Christ, the love of God in your heart, I want you to know that God's love is not something that you achieve, it's something that you receive. It's not something that you work for, it's something that you freely receive. And the resurrection of Jesus, it doesn't change God's view of us, it changes now our view of God. So now we see him for who he is, as loving, as awesome, as merciful. So if you're here this morning, I don't care what your age is, I don't know what your past has been, but I believe that there are people here right now, you've never received the love of Christ. You've never asked Jesus into your life. You've never asked him into your heart. And this morning, he says, would you open up your heart to me this morning? I don't want you just to have a church experience. I don't want you just to say, I went to church service and it was great, and I'm eating. No, I want you to say that I had an encounter with the true and living and loving God. That God is not after a religion. He's after a relationship with you. And if that's you this morning, here's what I want you to do. While nobody's looking, nobody's worried about you, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want you just to do something really quick. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I just want to see where you are. This is you this morning, and you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. I want to receive his love. I want to receive his forgiveness. Would you do me a favor and just lift up your hand right where you are, and you can slip it right back down if that's you? Would you raise your hand really quick? Amen. Awesome. I see your hand. Amen. Would you lift up your hand wherever you are? If that's you this morning, you say, I need to receive God's love. I need to give my life to Christ. Would you lift up your hand? Amen. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. 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 I see your hands. Come on, church. Make some noise. I see hands going up. Amen. Amen. Here's what I want us to do. If this is you this morning, you're saying, I'm ready to give my life to Christ. I don't want religion. I want relationship. I want you to repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day so that I can have new life and have it more abundantly. Jesus, I receive your love. Jesus, I receive your grace. I receive your mercy. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for raising back to life for me because of your love for me. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. Now come on, church, let's make as much noise as possible for people who gave their life to Christ this morning. Come on. Come on, let's make some noise. Amen. 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 So many hands going up, giving their life to Christ. Man, I want to let you know that if you prayed that prayer and if you just gave your life to Christ, you have made the greatest decision that you have ever made in your life. Amen. 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 And we want to celebrate with you and we want to honor God with you and just rejoice with you. The Bible says that when one person comes to God and comes to the family of God, all of heaven is rejoicing. And I saw multiple hands go up. So can we make some noise for Jesus, our resurrected King, and for new people in the family of God? Amen.